Okay, so the starting this week's parasha, basically to the end of the Sefer of Shmos, we talk about the Mishkan with the horrible interlude in the middle of the Egel. But that very large exception notwithstanding, the basic theme of these latter half of Shmot is the Mishkan. And, you know, at first glance, it seems to be quite a stark shift in theme, right? You get the phenomenally exciting narratives of the first four parshiot, and then the religious narrative of the revelation in Yitro. Now, Mishpatim is the logical follow-up to Yitro. It may not be narratively exciting, but obviously once you get the law, so you get a body of law, and then you switch over to the discussion of the Mishkan. Now, the connection between the Mishkan, I think last year what we did was we discussed the connection between the Mishkan and Har Sinai, right? Why it comes after that entire unit, and we noted that the Ramban building in the Midrashim already suggests that that the Mishkan is meant to be a portable Har Sinai, and therefore after you have Har Sinai, so you need the portable Har Sinai. Hence, after Yitro Mishpatim, you get Truma Tzitzava. But what I want to do today is not figure out why it comes after Yitro. I want to figure out why Truma comes after Mishpatim. And here, there will be no chidushim in the sense that what I'm going to say is explicit in many, 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 many psukim, all over Tanakh, which is why I gave you a long story sheet. I'm not going to read through all of it, but I'm going to sort of, you know, batter this point in as much as I can. But the Nevi'im are actually quite explicit. They had a reason for it. This isn't like some midrash or drash on lama nismecha parsha exla. Why is this parsha come after this parsha? This is actually in Navi, in Ksuvim. It's all over Tanakh. So, the thesis, if I put it out quickly, and then let's prove it, is that you only deserve the Mishkan if you keep the laws. And the Mishkan is only meaningful, meaning the relationship of God, forging a relationship with God around ritual, around korbanot, around sacrifice, is only meaningful and worthwhile if you as a person are ethical and following the mitzvot of Mishpatim. Right? That is the very simple thesis. And that's why Mishpatim is immediately followed by Truma. What I want to do simply now is prove this thesis, okay? So, number one is Sukkim from last week's Parsha. And here's just a few examples of mitzvot that we got in Mishpatim. V'ger lo tonev v'lo tilchatzenu ki gerim ha'yitem b'eretz Mitzrayim. Don't wrong the stranger, the ger, the convert, whatever. Don't oppress him, for you were strangers in Egypt. Kol ha'manavi atom lo ta'anun. Don't wrong the widow or the orphan. For if you do oppress him and he cries out to me or she cries out to me, I will hear their cries. And then my anger will flare against you and I'll kill you by the sword. Your wives will be widows, your children orphans. So the first set of laws, be good to the disadvantaged. Right? Take care of the people on the margins of society. Im kesef talvera mira ni machloti elokeno shatusimun alav neshach. Then you get the prohibition against lending money with interest, with usurious interest. But again, it's framed as a take care of the poor person. I mean, that's normally who's going to need the loan. So take care of the poor. And if you have to take security, so if he needs the security, return it to him when he needs it, day, night, etc. So take care of the impoverished, take care of the stranger, take care of the disadvantaged, those halachot. Then we hear Lotisa Shema Shav, Altashit Yad Chaim Rasha Liotich Eid Hamas. Then we get a series of laws about justice. Right? Don't raise my name in vain, in falsehood, don't be a witness, right? Don't join hands with wicked people to be witnesses, meaning don't pervert the legal system. A series of laws of how you should judge, right? Follow the, don't follow the majority if it's going to be evil. Right? Don't show deference to the poor, meaning you can't, right? The first psukim say take care of the poor, but that doesn't mean you twist the justice system for the poor. You have to be just and beneficent, right? And benevolent. You have to be good, but you also have to be fair. And then, right, you skip down to vav, lo tate mishpat evyon chabirivo. Don't distort the judgment against the poor. Midvar sheker tirchak, vinat kivet tzadik al tarog. Don't lie. And then in ched v'shochad lo tikach, right? Don't take bribes. And mishpatim, if I summarize all these laws, about two things: justice and charity. Right? Take care of those in the margin, and make sure that you have a just system, and be good to those who are disadvantaged. Right? Not just, but go out of your way to be kind to those who need it. Now, in Shmuel, in number two, even though we have a Mishkan and we bring Karbanot, Shmuel says to Shaul, after Shaul fails to listen to him and wait for him, and fails to kill Amalek, right? This is a pattern in Shaul's life. He doesn't wait for Shmuel, and then again in Amalek, right? He doesn't listen to him. Shmuel comments to him at some point, "Vayomer Shmuel, chafetz la Hashem be'olot v'vachim gishmuel b'kol Hashem." Do I want Karbanot? I don't want Karbanot. I want you to listen to God. Hinei Shmuel, right? Hinei Shmuel mizevach tov lakshiv v'chelav elim. It's better. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Right? That's Shmuel's claim. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What type of obedience? Obedience to what? So now, if you go through Tanakh, it's very explicit, and what you'll see is that all of the following Nevi'im are really writing commentaries. This is intertextual commentary, right, internal to Tanakh. It's commentary on earlier parts of Tanakh. Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu will tell you, what laws do I mean? I mean, primarily, Mishpatim. Right? Mishpatim. So, three, Yeshayahu. Lomali rov zivrechem yomar adonai savati alod eilim v'chelev mirayim v'dam parim v'chazim v'atuvdim lo chafati. But he says, what need have I of all your sacrifices, says God. I'm sated with burnt offerings of rams, suet of fatlings, and blood of blood. I have no delight in lambs. He goes, I don't want your karbanot. Why don't I want your karbanot? So he goes, he lists all the karbanot he doesn't want. Skip to Tedvav. Tedvav, he said, uviv parizchem kapechem alim einai mikem. And when you daven to me, you spread out your hands to me, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. Ki darbu tefilain enu shomea. If you daven a lot, you pray a lot, I'm not listening. Why? Yedechem damim maleyu. Why? Because your hands are filled with blood. What does that mean? He said. So then he continues. Rachatzu, hizaku, hasiro roa maleichem, ineged einai, chidlu haroa. Wash your hands, purify yourselves, get rid of the evil. And what should you do? Yudzayin. Limdu heitev. Learn well. Dirshu mishpat. Right? Seek justice. Ashru chamotz. Shiftu yatom. Rivu almana. Right? So what does he say? He says, learn to do good, devote yourselves to justice, aid the wronged, uphold the rights of the orphan, and defend the cause of the widow. Right? Check, 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 check. Mishpatim. Right? Yeshayahu says, the Mishkan is meaningless. The Karbanot are meaningless if you don't do two things. Mishpat and staka. Right? Which is, by the way, where does that come from? I didn't put this pasuk, but where do those two words come from? Avraham. Breshit, yudchet, yutet. Avram is told, Hashem says, why am I choosing Avram? Because I know that he will teach et beito acharav, right, lasot staka u'mishpat, right, to do the way of God, which is staka u'mishpat. And that's what Yeshayahu says. Mayor, stop. Right? And then, right, I mean, he continues on this, but we'll just skim through. I gave it to you so you can look at it afterwards. Yirmiyahu is even more explicit, if possible, than Yeshayahu, and says as follows. This is Yirmiyahu, Perek Zayin, number 4. I don't know why it got stapled this way, but okay. Ko amar Adonai Tzvot El HaYisrael, Heitivu Darchichem Umaleichem, Vo Va'ashakna Etchem Bamakom Hazeh. Listen to God and I will. Ashakna, which is Mishkan, I will dwell among you. Right, the beginning of Truma. Make Asuli Mikdash Vishachanti Bitocham. So Yirmiyahu says, listen to me so that I can dwell among you. Shechina Mishkan. And what does it mean to listen to him? So skip to Vav, right? It's actually hey. Kim Hetiv Tetivu Darchem and Alechem Imasu Tasu Mishpat Bein Ishu Bein Reyehu. Do what you're supposed to do, which is justice, and then Vav. Ger Yatom Valmana Lotashku. Don't oppress the Almana and the Yatom. Right? He's as explicit as you could possibly get. He tells you, you want God to live among you, the Mishkan Vishachanti Bitocham, take care of the Almana, take care of the Yatom, and do Mishpat. Or, in other words, check off everything in Mishpatim. Zechariah, in 5. Zechariah, so, Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, why is this message important to them? Because when are they living? Before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, they're trying to prevent the destruction. Uh-huh. Right? But then, Zechariah, number 5, is living in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, and what is his job? To tell people how to keep the second Beit HaMikdash. Right? So, Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu told the people, look, if you don't follow this formula, I'll destroy the Beit HaMikdash. And he did. Then the second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So what does Zechariah have to do? Tell people. They didn't get it the first time. Here's the instructions if you want to keep the Beit HaMikdash. What does he say in 5? Emor el kol am haaretz velakonim lemor kitzamtem v'tzavot b'chamishi v'ashvi'i v'zeh shivim shana atzom tzamtem ani. Tell all the people and all the priests, when you fasted, right? All those fasts that you've been doing for these 70 years, you did it for me? I don't care if you fast. Right? That's not what's interesting to me. What do I want you to do? Skip down to Tet. Ko amar adonai tzavot lemor mishpat emet shiftu. I want you to keep justice and kindness and mercy. Asu ish erachiv, doof to your brothers. The keywords: amana v'yatom ger v'ani al tashku v'ra'at ish erachiv al tashku v'vachem. So, you get it? Before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. They don't learn the lesson, so pitom Zechariah. Mayor, sit down. Zechariah says, when the second Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, he says, what is the condition for you to keep it? Not bringing karbanot, that didn't save the Beit HaMikdash the first time, and it's not going to make you deserve the Beit HaMikdash the second time. It's follow mishpatim. It's over and over. And, right, you've said many of these tehillim, but watch how many times it comes from tehillim. Tehillim tedvav. Mizmor le David, Adonai mi'agur bo alecha mi'ishkon bar kodshecha. Who gets to live in your ohel on har kodesh? Meaning, who deserves to be in the Beit HaMikdash? Holech tamim b'fol tzedek v'doverim el bilvavo. One who's perfect and speaks truth, meaning, midvar sheker tirchak. Right? And then, lo ragala lishono, lo asol re'eu ra'av, echarpalan osol krovo. And you skip down to, hey, kaspo lo notan b'neshech. He didn't lend with interest. V'shochad al naki lo lakach. And he didn't take bribes. Right? Check, check, check. Right? Number 7, right? Tehillim Perchav Dalid. Mi alev ahar Adonai mi yakum b'kam kadsho. Who gets to go up to the Beit HaMikdash? We all know this pasuk, but we never paid attention to it. Niki chapai muvar levav asher lo nasal shav nafshi velo nishba l'mirma. Someone who doesn't swear falsely in God's name. Again, mishpatim. Tehillim Perik Nun. Shema Ami v'davra Yisrael v'ida bach Elohim Elohech Anochi lo alzbachech ochichecha v'losech l'negdi tamid. Again, it's not about the karbanot. What is it? Right? He said, I don't want it if you hate Musar. Right? He just continues, what do I want? Right? Again, I want you to follow the mitzvot. I want you to take it. Over and over and over in Tanakh, they make the point. The Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed if you don't realize Mishpatim is necessary for Truma to be meaningful. Zechariah, the Beit HaMikdash will not be sustained if you don't keep Mishpatim. And if you want this clearly in 9, I gave you the Gemara and Makot, they have a beautiful, agadic way of saying this. Right? The Gemara says that Darash Reb Simloi, Sheish, Meod, Vishlosh, Tzrei, Mitzvot, Nemru, Lola, Moshe. There are 613 mitzvot. Right, there were 613 mitzvot, but then the Gemara continues and said, but there was each generation, there was attempts to boil down the mitzvot. If I had to summarize the point of the Torah, then, right, we cut it down. So if you skip down, right, he says, David boiled it down to 11, right? Where did he do that? In Tehillim Tetvav, which we read, right? Which was, who will go up to Har Hashem? And what does he say? He who walks wholeheartedly, works righteousness, speaks truth in his heart, has no slander upon his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his relative, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, and he honors those who fear the Lord. He takes an oath to his own detriment and changes not. He neither gives his money with interest, nor takes a bribe against the innocent. He performs these will never be moved. I mean, David listed 11 mitzvot from Mishpatim. But that's too complicated. So the Gemara continues. And says, I gave you the whole thing. We're not going to read it inside, but I gave it to you if you want to look at it afterwards. Where the Gemara continues that they boiled it down to more and to more. Then eventually they boiled it down to, right, look all the way to the end. Micha boils it down to 3. What is it? Right? What is good? What does Hashem require from you? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, right? And then Amos boils it down to 1, which is, right, is just, seek me out, right? Seek me out and you'll live. Meaning, what is the Gemara getting at? It's not really that only one mitzvah is important. But people don't understand. You give them a list of 100 mitzvot, they didn't understand it. So here, the Nevi'im made it simple. They boiled it down to 11. You didn't get it. Okay, we boiled it down to 3. You still didn't get it, we'll boil down to 1. The point is the same. The Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is not meaningful nor will be sustained if you don't listen to God. If you aren't just, if you aren't kind, if you don't do what God wants, then He doesn't want korbanot. Korbanot are expressions of a relationship with God. Tefillah is an expression of a relationship with God. You can only have a relationship with God if you're godly. So Mishpatim is necessary for Truma. That's why one follows the other. And because nobody got that when they read Chumash, so Yeshayahu had to say it, and Yirmiyahu had to say it, and the Beit HaMikdash got destroyed. We didn't learn that lesson. Didn't work, so Zechariah repeated it. Right? And David puts it in Tehillim. But the message is simple. This is no Chiddush. If you go anywhere in Tanakh, it's explicit. Right? If you want to deserve the Beit HaMikdash, you want to deserve that relationship with God, be godly. What does it mean to be godly? Keep what he said. Be good. Be just. Be kind to the unfortunate. That's being godly. Once you got that basics, then you can have Beit HaMikdash, then you can daven, then you can bring korbanot, then God wants to listen to you. Hence, Mishpatim is the prerequisite for Truma. Good job.